Hello and welcome to the program. Oh, what better way to start than with a classic, perfect for the festive season. Speaking of which, can I begin by wishing each and every one of you, our listeners, from each and every one of us on Mooney Goes Wild, a very happy and peaceful Christmas. Tonight, we bring you our Mooney Goes Wild wildlife quiz. We did it before at the beginning of the original lockdown way back when the coronavirus first came to light, and we had such good fun, we decided that we'd do it all again. But when? And we thought, let's do it at Christmas. So all you got to do is get yourself a pen and paper and play along at home. Now, I don't want you to get too excited because there is no prize for the winner. It's just the honour and glory of taking part. So while you're scrambling for your pen and paper, we'll continue to listen to Troika. So that should be enough time. I'm sure by now you've got your pen and paper and you're seated comfortably and ready to play along at home. We have a panel of experts on this program, as you know, as we have had for the past 25 years. And they're not called experts for nothing. They are very distinguished in their respective fields. And I've asked them tonight to come up with a set of questions each, but to keep them fair. I said, put some questions in there that even I can answer. So we look forward to their offerings. And we begin with the longest serving member of Mooney Goes Wild. She's been with me from the very beginning, 25 years ago. Aina and Ilona, Aina, at home in Terranure in Dublin 6 West. Do you have your questions ready?
Yes, Derek, indeed. I have all my questions ready. Now, my questions are all on insects and creepy crawlies because, as you know, I'm fierce interested in those things. And we've been talking about them on the programme for years. So I'm sure our listeners will be full of knowledge about them. Anyway, I'm sure we'll find out. So here are my 6 questions. Question number 1 is true or false? Now, I have several statements and you have to answer it with each one, whether it's true or false. So question number 1. All moths fly at night. True or false? Some spiders have wings. True or false? The young of a daddy long legs are called leather jackets. True or false? Bees can't see the colour blue. True or false?
How many questions is that, Aina? For heaven's sake, you're supposed to ask 6 questions. You've asked 4 of them already.
No, that was question number 1. They were 4 true or false. The answering person just says true, true, false, false, true, true, whatever.
Okay, well, you'll have to ask them again.
No, this is not a giveaway. This is the Mooney Show, Derek.
I know, but there's no prize.
Yeah, that was a prize. It's the wonderful knowledge. This is the second one.
No, you better answer those again. Sure, no one's going to remember them. Do those 4 from question number 1 again.
Okay. Pay attention, please. Yeah. Okay. Question number 1 is a true or false, and there are 4 true or false statements.
Yes, we know, yeah.
The first statement is all moths fly at night. True or false? Some spiders have wings. True or false? The young of a daddy long legs is called a leather jacket. True or false? Bees can't see the colour blue. True or false? So, 4 there.
So there we are. So that's question number 1 from Aina. Question number 2, Aina.
Question number 2 is on beetles. So which one of the following 4 beetles is not native to Ireland? The 22-spot ladybird, the bloody-nosed beetle, the rhinoceros beetle, the stag beetle. Now, one of those 4 is not native. Which one is it? The 22-spot ladybird, the bloody-nosed beetle, the rhinoceros beetle, the stag beetle. Now, question number 3. Which of the following has only got 2 wings? As in one pair, it only has 2 wings. A butterfly, a mayfly, a hoverfly, or a dragonfly? So which of these has only got 2 wings? Now, This one might be a hard one, maybe. I don't know. Question number 4. Let's have a look at this. What have the following got in common? A robin's pincushion, an oak apple, and a witch's broom. They have one thing in common. What is it? Question number 5 is an audio question. Now, here's the voice of the man himself, the great William Butler Yeats, reading his famous poem, The Lake Isle of Innisfree.
I will arise and go now and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there.
So what is he going to have as well as the 9 bean rows?
Your final question, Aina.
Well, my final question is a collective noun question. I love collective noun questions. Did you know that a collection of bees is called a swarm of bees? A collection of ants is called an army of ants. A collection of locusts is called a plague of locusts. And wonderfully, a collection of ladybirds is called a loveliness of ladybirds. Imagine. But my question to you is, what do you call a group of cockroaches?
What is the collective noun for a group of cockroaches? Aina's 6th and final question. We'll be back to you for the answers later. Aina, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Derek. No problem. I'll be here.
Next, we travel to Glasnevin in Dublin to speak with Dr. Matthew Jebb, who's the director of the National Botanic Gardens. Matthew.
Thank you, Derek. And as you said, I am the director of the Botanic Gardens, and it's a wonderful free resource open to Dubliners every day of the year, bar Christmas Day. And we would welcome any of you to come and stroll the gardens. There's a lot of stuff still in flower. There's a lot of greenery, and it's a wonderful place to stretch your legs. And so there's a lot to cheer you up with a walk in the gardens.
Actually, the perfect time to visit the Botanic Gardens, I would say. Have you got your questions ready for me, Matthew?
I have indeed. And for listeners who are not great botanists or horticulturists, don't worry. These questions have got clues in them, and I'll be giving you clues. So I want people to roll with it and think carefully about what I'm saying. So if everyone is ready, the first question I'm going to ask is a very seasonal one, appropriate at this time of year. What plant is known as the Christmas rose? What plant is known as the Christmas rose? Now, it's not actually a rose that I'm looking for here. It's a plant that flowers late in the year. It's a little herbaceous plant. That means it doesn't have any woody parts to it. It sits down in the flower bed, and its blooms are out right up towards Christmas Day. Question number 2. What plant that grows wild in Ireland is normally pollinated by hummingbirds? Now, question number 3. It's often said that we are the least forested country in Europe, but how many trees would you guess there are per person living on this island? And yes, I am including Sitka spruce. If we look at some other European countries, like Denmark, for example, they have 54 trees for every person in Denmark. In Hungary, they have 100 trees per person. So that gives you an idea of how many trees are about. And perhaps the best clue of all I might give you is that over in Britain, they only have 54 trees per person. So the question again is, it's often said that we are the least forested country in Europe. But how many trees would you guess there are per person living on this island? Question number 4 is an audio question. So I want you to listen to this piece of music, and then at the end, I'm going to ask you a question.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning you white, clean and bright, you look happy to meet me.
So the question is, what does the word Edelweiss mean in English? I can tell you the Italians call this plant Stella Alpina, the little star of the Alps. It's got beautiful little white filthy flowers, which are also known as cat's paws. So the question again is, what does Edelweiss mean in English? Question number 5. What fruit were originally known as love apples in the English language, and why? Now the clue here is to look at the French name of these fruits, which was pomme d'amour, apples of love, love apples. So we can see where that English word derived from. But what was the pomme d'amour in French? And I can tell you again that the French weren't very good listeners, because the Italians who first used this name for this fruit called them pomme d'oro, literally golden apples. So the question again is, what fruit were originally known as love apples in the English language, and why? And finally, question number 6, where might you find Irish moss? Now, of course, we're always thinking straight away, well, that's got to be a moss plant. But where would you find Irish moss? So, Derek, that completes my 6 questions, and I'll be back with the answers later.
Thank you very much indeed, Matthew. Let's go now to Malahide in North County Dublin, where Richard Collins is standing by. Richard!
Hello, Derek. Richard Collins here. Some people call me the Swan Man.
Oh.
Because I spent so many decades, well, several decades, logging the births, marriages and deaths of swans. Now, that might seem a very parochial, narrow kind of pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. Studying wild creatures draws in history, geography, archaeology, mathematics, as well as culture, both popular and highbrow.
Oh, very good. So what have you got for us, Richard?
I have chosen 6 questions, which I hope will give a sense of that.
All right, OK. Question number 1, in your own time, please.
A meeting of the Linnaean Society of London took place on the 1st of July, 1858. At it, the theory of natural selection was put forward for the first time by 2 people, neither of whom was actually present.
Mm.
One was Charles Darwin. Who was the other? Question number 2. Creatures still alive in Irish rivers and streams were contemporaries of Charles Stewart Parnell. They are the longest living animals in the country. What are they? Creatures still alive in Irish waters and streams were contemporaries of Charles Stewart Parnell. He died in 1891, I think. These are the longest living Irish animals. What are they? Question number 3. The following is a well-known quotation. If the bee disappears from the surface of the earth, man will have no more than 4 years to live. To whom is that quotation attributed? I'll say it again. If the bee disappears from the surface of the earth, man will have no more than 4 years to live. To whom is that quotation attributed? Number 4. How to cope with the trials and tribulations of winter. If you're a bird, you can head south for a holiday in the sun. Alternatively, if flying is not to your liking, you can seek out a warm den and take to the bed and cocoon. Many animals are locked down just now. Question, yes or no, do Irish squirrels hibernate? Number 5. The following weird sound is said to have terrified unsuspecting people who are forced to stay overnight on an uninhabited island. What kind of demon is it? What kind of demon is it? Number 6. I have to include a swan question. Now, we have 3 native swans in Ireland. One is the mute swan, another is the Bewick swan.
What's the third one?
And that completes my set of six questions.
Thanks, Richard. We'll come back for the answers later on. Let's go now to Dublin 15, to Terry Flanagan. Our listeners are very familiar with his voice. He's been our reporter for almost two decades now, Terence.
Yes, Derek, that's me, the reporter from the Mooney Goes Wild programme, but also the school teacher. And for all that time that I've been reporting, I've been teaching science and biology here in Moyle Park College in Clondalkin. And it's from the classroom I bring you my questions. Questions that might bring you back to your school days and your time in the school lab. The periodic table hanging from the wall. The skeleton stuck in the corner. And rows and rows and rows of test tubes. Oh, there's the bell. So settle down now and let's see how you get on. Question 1. Is a catfish a cat or a fish? A nice easy question to start with. A catfish, is it a cat or is it a fish? Question 2. Everyone has heard of DNA, but since the COVID-19 pandemic, pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer have been testing an RNA vaccine to trigger the immune system to produce protective antibodies. The question is, what does RNA stand for? Yes, most people will have heard of DNA, but do they know what RNA is? Question 3. Scurvy is a deficiency disease that results from a lack of what nutrient? To give you a clue, naval surgeon James Lind, he discovered that, and I'll quote him, oranges and lemons were the most effective remedies for this distemper at sea. What causes scurvy? Question 4. Ringworm is not a worm. But what is it? You probably suffered from it when you were younger. So what I want to know is, what causes ringworm? Question 5. What famous Irish scientist is referred to as the father of chemistry? And his picture is probably hanging in lots of labs around the country as well. And he also has a famous law called after him. A law involving pressure and volume in gases. Who is the father of chemistry?
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium.
Question 6 is an audio question. Every school lab has a periodic table hanging in it. This shows all the elements present on Earth. Now, the famous Harvard professor Tom Lehrer wrote and performed the Elements song. Now, I want you all to have a listen to this version of the song and tell me who's singing it. Now, I'll give you a clue. He's not a scientist. He's a bespectacled movie character. Listen to the voice. I'm sure you know him.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and uranium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and anthium, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium. There's yttrium, and terbium, actinium, rubidium, and boron, gadolinium, and niobium, and rhodium, and strontium, and silicon, silver, and barium, bismuth, bromine, lithium, beryllium, and barium. And let's start the next verse. There's holmium, and helium. And helium and athium and erbium, and phosphorus and francine and fluorine and terbium, and manganese and mercury and molybdenum, magnesium, dysprosium and scandium and cerium and cesium. There's lead, praseodymium, platinum, plutonium, palladium, promethium, potassium, polonium, and tantalum, technetium, titanium, tellurium, and cadmium, and calcium, chromium, curium. There's sulfur, californium, and fermium, berkelium, and also mendelevium, arsenium, nobelium, and argon, radon, neon, zinc, and argon.
Who's singing the Elements song here?
There's sulfur, californium, and fermium, berkelium, and also mendelevium, einsteinium, nobelium, and argon, radon, neon, krypton, xenon, zinc, and rhodium, and chlorine, carbon, cobalt, copper, tungsten, tin, and sodium.
So there you have it, Derek. There's my six questions. I'll be back to you later with the answers.
Thank you, Terry. Let's head now to Kilcool and say season's greetings to Niall Hatch.
Season's greetings from County Wicklow, Derek. Now, as you know, I'm very interested in all wildlife.
Yes.
But birds are my favourite animal group of all. Over 460 different bird species have been recorded in Ireland, which, given the relatively small size of our country, actually represents a remarkable proportion of the world's 10,000 or so different bird species. Anyway, I have 6 bird-themed questions for you, some easier than others. Give them your best shot. Question number 1. What animals are the closest living relatives of birds? And be as specific as you can. What animals are the closest living relatives of birds? On to question number 2. How many bird species that were formerly extinct in Ireland have been reintroduced here over the past 20 years? And please name them. So how many different bird species that were formerly extinct in Ireland have been reintroduced here over the past 20 years? And please name them. Question number 3. The ostrich is the largest bird in the world, but which bird lays the largest eggs? Which bird lays the largest eggs? Question number 4. This is our audio question. What bird is mentioned in the title of Peru's most famous traditional folk song, best known in this part of the world on account of this English language cover version by Simon and Garfunkel, which appears on their 1970 album Bridge Over Troubled Water?
I'd rather be a sparrow than a snail. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would.
So, what bird was mentioned in the title of that song? Okay, question number 5. Last winter, what bird species was most likely to be present in an Irish garden, according to Birdwatch Ireland's Irish Garden Bird Survey? What bird species is most likely to be present in an Irish garden, according to the Irish Garden Bird Survey? And finally, question number 6. According to Irish mythology, the children of Lir were turned into swans at Loch Derivar in County Westmeath. However, where, 900 years later, were they finally turned back into humans? And what county is that in? So where did the children of Lir turn back into human beings? And what county is that? Back to you, Derek.
Okay, Niall, thank you very much indeed. And Simon and Garfunkel there. Aren't they just wonderful? You can't beat talent. Now let's turn to Jenny Brannigan for our final set of 6 questions. Jenny!
Hello, Derek. Happy Christmas to you.
You too. So tell us more. Remind people who you are and why you're taking part in this programme today.
Well, Derek, your listeners may remember that I was resident physiotherapist on The Mooney Show for many years. Mm-hmm. And I'm the official Mooney Goes Wild participant in this year's Irish Garden Bird Survey, hosted by Birdwatch Ireland.
Oh, how's that going for you? Have you spotted many birds?
It's going pretty well so far. To date, we've seen quite a few birds in our garden. Just since we got our feeder, we've definitely seen an increase. Our best day was last Sunday when we all sat down with coffees and hot chocolates and just looked out the window for ages. And we spotted 3 blackbirds, we spotted 2 magpies, 2 crows and a robin all on that one day.
Fantastic. Now, today I've asked you to pick questions from popular culture. How did you get on?
We got on pretty well. I consulted with my children because, as you know, they know a lot more about nature than I do. So we've come up with 6 great questions, wildlife-related questions in popular culture. And I'm going to start with question 1 now, Derek, which is an audio question. Let's go back now to 1975, all the way back. And which TV trio had a hit with this song? The song is called The Funky Gibbon. So can you tell me which TV trio had a hit with this song? Moving on now to question number 2. Harry Potter is a series of 7 fantasy novels written by the British author J.K. Rowling. Can you tell me the name of Harry Potter's owl? It's a beautiful snowy owl, but what is its name? Question number 3. We just adopted an Asian lion for the recent Save Dublin Zoo campaign. Do you know from how far away a lion's roar can be heard? Is it A, 0.5 kilometre? Is it B, 8 kilometres? Or is it C, 20 kilometres? So from how far away can a lion's roar be heard? Is it A, half a kilometre? Is it B, 8 kilometres? Or C, 20 kilometres? Question number 4. According to the famous Elmo and Patsy Christmas song, what do all of your grandmas out there need to watch out for when crossing the road? So we all know this song from the 70s. What do all of your grandmas out there need to watch out for when crossing the road? Question number 5. The tale of Peter Rabbit was first published in 1902 and has remained beloved to this day with recent movies starring James Corden as Peter Rabbit. Peter Rabbit is famous for wearing a certain coloured jacket. What colour is Peter Rabbit's jacket? And finally, question number 6. What was the name of the bush kangaroo that featured in the Australian television series about the adventures of a young boy and his highly intelligent kangaroo? Can you name that kangaroo?
Well, I can give them a clue if you want, Jenny. Anybody who remembers that series will know that sound.
They'll all get it now, Derek.
Jenny, thank you very much, and we'll be back to you for your answers a little bit later on. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Derek.
And that concludes our 6 rounds of 6 questions. You had Aina, Matthew, Richard, Terry, Niall and Jenny Brannigan. I have just one question for you, and it's this. If you're around in the 70s, you'll know the answer straight away. Do you remember the sitcom It Ain't Half Hot Mum? Fantastic BBC hit series. Well, 2 of the actors from that series had a number 1 in the UK charts with this song. Do you know what it is?
You promised me green grass, not to tell what you heard. Whispering grass, say, you can't keep your word. Keep your word, sing lofty.
Why do you whisper green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? Who kissed them long ago? Whispering grass, the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell her to the bees, but she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all? Cause the trees don't need to know.
Don't you tell it to the breeze, cause she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Oh yes, you told them once before, and it is no secret anymore. I will not have gossip in this jungle.
Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass, don't tell the trees, cause the trees don't need to.
Windsor Davies and Don Estelle from the series It Ain't Half Hot Mum. And the song was called Whispering Grass. Number 1 for 3 weeks in the UK charts. I'm sure you knew it. And if you did, give yourself 10 points. After all, there's no prize, so it doesn't matter. Give yourself as many points as you want. Now it's time to catch up with our panel of experts for the answers to their questions. And we'll start with Aina Nealana. Your answers, please, Aina.
Right, okay. The first question, if you remember, was four statements, true or false.
How could I forget?
All moths fly at night. False, because some of them fly during the day as well. Some spiders have wings. False. No spiders have wings. Things that have wings are not spiders. The young of a daddy long legs is called a leather jacket. That's true. They are. And bees can't see the colour blue. That is false. Bees can see the colour blue. It's the colour red they can't see.
How do you know?
Oh, I know everything, Derek. But apart from that, they have actually done experiments on the retina, the lengths of the bees' focal lengths. They see way up in ultraviolet and they can only see down as far as green. So red flowers are out for bees. And there's no wild native red flowers anyway.
Very good.
Okay, so that was false, false, true and false. That was the first one, okay? Now, the second one was easier. Which of the following beetles is not native to Ireland? The 22-spot ladybird, well, that is. And the bloody-nose beetle is actually native. The rhinoceros beetle, even though you might think so, is a native and quite common in woodlands. The one we don't have is the stag beetle. And I won't make any remarks about stag anything else's. But we don't have stag beetles here. That was the one we don't have.
Question number three.
Question number three was about flies and wings. Which of the following has only got two wings? A butterfly? Well, butterflies have four wings. A mayfly has four wings. A hoverfly, which is a kind of an ordinary fly, only has two wings. And the dragonfly has four wings. So the one that only had two wings was the hoverfly.
Question number four.
What have the following got in common? The robin's pincushion, the oak apple and the witch's brooms. Now, these actually are all galls on trees. The robin's pincushion is on the wild rose and it's caused by a wasp. The oak apple is a gall on oak trees and it's also caused by a wasp. And the witch's broom is a whole collection of sticks on a birch tree and it's caused by a fungus. So they are all galls, mad growth on trees caused by some irritation, which is what these things are. So there you go now. That's a new one for you if you didn't know before.
Ivoricuig.
Ivoricuig, the great man himself, didn't he sound great? He sounded like De Valera, I think. But anyway, maybe that's not fair to De Valera. But anyhow, Yeats was going to have nine bean rows, will I have there, and a hive for the honey bee. The pollinators of Ireland would love him.
Nine bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-bound glade.
And finally, number six.
Our cockroaches. We needed a collective noun for the cockroaches. We had a swarm of bees, an army of ants, a plague of locusts, a loveliness of ladybirds. But if you had a whole heap of cockroaches, they would be an intrusion of cockroaches. And they certainly would. Nobody likes cockroaches. So there you go. If you got them all right, award yourself 6 marks.
There goes Enid. That was her set of questions. Let's move on now to Terry Flanagan. Terry.
Welcome back, Derek.
Thank you very much.
Question one was, is a catfish a cat or a fish? And the answer is, very simply, it's a fish. Why is it called a catfish? Well, I think it's got to do with the fish's barbels, which resemble a cat's whiskers. So when you look at a catfish, it looks a bit like a cat in a tank. But the answer is, most definitely, a fish. Question two. What does RNA stand for? RNA stands for ribonucleic acid. It's very similar to DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid. They're both nucleic acids, they're both found in the nucleus of cells, but RNA stands for ribonucleic acid. Question three. Scurvy is a deficiency disease that results from a lack of what nutrient? And the answer is vitamin C. Question four. Ringworm is not a worm, but what is it? Well, it's a fungal infection, and it gets its name from the distinctive pattern on the skin. Question five. What famous Irish scientist is referred to as the father of chemistry? And the answer is Robert Boyle. And that law is called Boyle's Law. And finally, question six. Who's singing this song?
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and uranium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, rutetium, vanadium, and anthium, and osmium, and acetine, and radium, and golden, protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium.
Well, it's Daniel Radcliffe, better known as Harry Potter. Well, there you are, Derek. That's the answers to my six questions. So it's back to you in studio.
Thank you very much indeed. Terry, let's go now to Malahide in North County Dublin. Dr. Richard Collins, your answers, please.
My answers? Oh, yes, the answers.
Yes.
Question one. A meeting of the Linnaean Society of London took place on the 1st of July, 1858. At it, the theory of natural selection was put forward for the first time by two people, neither of whom was actually present. One was Charles Darwin. Who was the other? It was Alfred Russel Wallace. Alfred Russel Wallace, now he was a remarkable naturalist who was somewhat overshadowed by Darwin in reputation and so forth. She was born in Wales, and the family claimed descent from William Wallace in Scotland. Well, I don't know how true that is, but he made major contributions to nature study, to wildlife. The Wallace line is a line in Southeast Asia, below which the fauna are Australian, come from Australia, and north of which the fauna are Asian. And here is early evidence, shall we say, of plate tectonics, the two continents colliding, the one from the south bringing Australian fauna and crashing into the Asiatic one with its Asiatic fauna. Question number two. Creatures still alive in Irish waters and streams were contemporaries of Charles Stewart Parnell. They are the longest living Irish animals. What are they? And the answer is pearl mussels. Pearl mussels. These creatures live in the beds of rivers. They produce pearls. Occasionally a grain of sand gets into them and it develops a pearl over time. In warmer climates, they don't live so long, but in ours, it is said, they can reach up to 140 years. Number three. The following is a well-known quotation. If the bee disappears from the surface of the earth, man will have no more than 4 years to live. To whom is it attributed? And the answer, of course, is Albert Einstein. Now, I have tried to track down where Albert Einstein made that remark, and I haven't been successful. So I have a slight fear that this might even be fake news. Who knows? Question number four. I asked you to listen to this unusual sound, this weird sound, and to tell me what it is. Well, the answer is the Manx shearwater. The Manx shearwater is an oceanic seabird that comes ashore at night on islands and nests in a burrow. Visit the island during the day, you wouldn't know it was there. It is one, in my view, of the great sounds of Irish nature. But you have to go to an island on a wet, windy night and camp overnight to hear it. But believe you me, it is an exhilarating experience. Question number five. How to cope with the trials of winter? If you're a bird, you can head south for a holiday in the sun. If you're not, and flying is not your thing, you can seek out a warm den, take to the bed and cocoon. Many animals are in lockdown right now. Question is, do Irish squirrels hibernate? And the answer is, no, they don't. Contrary to popular belief, everyone thinks squirrels hibernate. They don't. They bury their nuts in the ground and their seeds and things that they gather, they hoard for the winter. They stash things away to tie them through the winter. Something like what we do ourselves. We store up for the winter as well. We have the supermarkets and we have our deep freezers and everything else. Well, squirrels do likewise. Our red squirrels hoard in little groups, whereas the greys scatter things around. They're scatter hoarders. Finally, question number six. We have three swan species in Ireland. The familiar one we all know is the mute swan. He loves us. He's come into our parks and gardens, and he realizes that we're a great source of food and protection and so on and so forth. Now, the other two are the opposite attitude. They don't want to have anything to do with us. The Buick swan, very thin on the ground here now, it's declining, comes from Siberia. It's the smallest of the swans. And the third one comes from Iceland, and it tells you its name. It's the Hooper Swan, because it honks and hoops all the time.
Fascinating stuff, Richard. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely sound of the Hooper Swan there. Let's go now to Jenny Brannigan. Are you ready, Jenny?
Absolutely, Derek. So question number one, that was an audio question. So which TV trio had a hit with this song in 1975? And the answer, of course, is the Goodies. That was a trio of British comedians, Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden and Bill Oddie. And the song is called, if you didn't already know, The Funky Gibbon. Question number two was, what was the name of Harry Potter's owl? And that was a beautiful snowy owl called Hedwig. Question number three was in relation to the Asian lion that my family adopted as part of the recent Save Dublin Zoo campaign. I want to know from how far away a lion's roar could be heard. Was it A, half a kilometre, B, 8 kilometres, or C, 20 kilometres? And of course, the answer is that an Asian lion's roar can be heard from as far away as 8 kilometres. Unfortunately, here in Ballinteer, we're 12 kilometres away from the zoo, so we are not able to hear our Asian lion's roar. Question number four is a seasonal question. And of course, the famous Elmo and Patsy Christmas song, what do all of you grandmas out there need to watch out for when crossing the road? And of course, the answer is you have to watch out for those reindeers. Grandma got run over by a reindeer, so be very careful on those roads out there.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandma, we believe.
Question number five then was in relation to Peter Rabbit. And of course, Peter Rabbit is famous for wearing a certain colour jacket. And I wanted to know, what colour is that jacket? Peter Rabbit 2 was released this year, and Peter Rabbit always wears a blue jacket with the brass buttons on it. And my final question, number six, what was the name of the bush kangaroo that featured in that great Australian television series about the adventures of a young boy with his highly intelligent kangaroo? And of course, the answer was Skippy the bush kangaroo. So there are my six answers to those questions relating to wildlife in popular culture. So Derek, happy Christmas to you and happy Christmas to all of your listeners.
Happy Christmas to you too, Jenny, and all of your family. Thanks for taking part in the Birdwatch Ireland Garden Bird Survey on our behalf. Speaking of which, let's go now to Kilcool again, and Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland has his answers. Niall.
Yes, Derek, time to see how everyone got on with my bird-themed questions. So as you recall, I had six questions. I'll go through them and let's see how many people got right. So question number one was, what animals are the closest living relatives of birds? And the answer is alligators. Strange as that may seem, the ancestors of modern birds and alligators diverged roughly 250 million years ago. And birds, of course, are directly descended from dinosaurs. Dinosaurs never actually went extinct. They just sort of turned into birds. My second question was, how many bird species that were formerly extinct in Ireland have been reintroduced here over the past 20 years? And I also asked people to name them. Well, there are three, and all of them are birds of prey. The golden eagle, the white-tailed eagle, and the red kite. Question three. The ostrich is the largest bird in the world, but which bird lays the largest eggs? And the answer is also the ostrich. Its eggs weigh about 1.3 kilograms and have a diameter of 15 centimeters. So this means that they're bigger than the eggs of any other living bird, though actually they're the smallest eggs in proportion to the size of the bird itself. The birds that lay the largest eggs in proportion to the size of their bodies are the kiwis of New Zealand. They're almost a quarter of the size of the female that lays them. But the answer was the ostrich. That does lay the absolute largest eggs of any living bird.
I'd rather be a sparrow than a snail. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would.
Question number four was our audio question, if you remember. We played you a piece of music by Simon and Garfunkel and asked you what bird is mentioned in the title of that song. Well, the song is El Condor Pasa, and the bird in question is the majestic Andean condor, a huge vulture that happens to be the largest flying bird in the world. Question number five was, last winter, what bird species was most likely to be present in an Irish garden, according to Birdwatch Ireland's Irish Garden Bird Survey? And the answer was the robin. The robin's actually taken the number one spot in the survey for the past 10 years in a row, followed closely by the blackbird and then the blue tit. And my final question was question six. According to Irish mythology, the children of Lear were turned into swans at Loch Derivara in County Westmeath. But where, 900 years later, were they finally turned back into humans? And what county was that in? Well, the answer was the Isle of Inishglora, which is off the coast of the Mullet Peninsula in County Mayo. Before I go, I'd like to wish all of Birdwatch Ireland's members across the country a very happy Christmas and all the very best for the new year. We really appreciate your support. Back to you, Derek.
Finally, we go to the Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin and its director, Matthew Jebb. Matthew!
Thank you, Derek, and I hope everyone enjoyed the six questions I set there. The answer to the first question was Helleborus niger.
Yeah, but what was the question?
Of course, the question was, what plant is known as the Christmas rose? And Helleborus niger is one of these amazing plants that produces its flower right at the end of the year, in the middle of the winter, in the depths of winter, sometimes covered with snow. The answer to the second question, what plant that grows wild in Ireland is normally pollinated by hummingbirds, is fuchsia.
Oh, no!
People always know the fuchsia so well and they just assume it's an Irish plant, but actually it originates from the very southern tip of South America where it's pollinated by hummingbirds.
And when you look at it and when you think about a fuchsia, you could just imagine a hummingbird going in there.
And just think of the nectar you can sip out of them, because we're all used to having sucked nectar out of those flowers as children. The third question was, it is often said that we are the least forested country in Europe, but how many trees would you guess there are per person living on this island? Now, the answer is 154, which is a lot more than people would normally guess. And I suppose the only sort of downside to that answer is the fact that so many of them are conifers, such as Sitka spruce. Question number four was the audio question. I asked you to listen to this famous song from The Sound of Music.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss.
So the song, of course, is Edelweiss. And the Edelweiss, this little flower that grows on the top of the mountains, that is a German word. In English, it translates as noble white. And it's a noble white because it is such a hardy plant. It's one of the highest flowering plants in the Alps. But even a little flower like that, as rugged and noble as it is suffering from the changes of climatic change, being pushed to the tops of the mountains today. So it's got its last toehold in the Alps, and it is a plant that traditionally people would climb the mountains, pick a flower and bring it down to their loved one as a symbol of their love, that they had the courage and strength to get to the peaks of the mountains. And I wanted you to tell me, what does Edelweiss translate to in English? So question number five was, what fruit were originally known as love apples in the English language and why? Mm. So the answer was that pomme d'amour comes from the Italian pomodoro, which is, of course, a tomato. So when tomatoes first appeared this side of the Atlantic from the Americas, people were very suspicious of them. They were regarded as fruits that smelt of some of the toxic plants like the nightshade fruits, and therefore they were associated with witches, they were associated with love potions, so the term love apple naturally got attached to them. And our sixth and final question was, where might you find Irish moss? So, of course, everybody was thinking of moss growing on trees, but actually this moss grows underwater and it's not a moss at all. It's a misnomer because it's actually a red seaweed, carrageen. Irish moss is one of these incredible seaweeds that when you boil it up with water makes a jelly. So carrageen was harvested at low tide and boiled up to make these puddings, these jellies from it. And the Irish name carrageen, of course, derives from the word for a little rock. And that concludes my six questions. And I want to wish you all a very happy Christmas. And once again, remind you that the gardens are open every day except for Christmas Day. So please come and enjoy them.
Matthew Jebb, Director of the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin, thank you. Thanks to Richard Collins, to Aina Neelana, Jenny Brannigan, Niall Hatch and Terry Flanagan. More thanks to John Bell O'Reilly, my researcher and broadcast coordinator, Jarlath Holland. Next week in this slot, you'll get a second chance to hear a special documentary about the Christmas tree. It is wonderful, just like this song, so don't be shy. Come on now, join in.
Blossom of snow, may you bloom and grow, bloom and grow forever. Edelweiss, bless my homeland forever.
Mooney Goes Wild was presented and produced by Derek Mooney.